There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We're joined by writer and actor Hannah Kamani, who's got a new football-related play called England. And we spoke to her. She came into the studio.
John Ronson, we had a chat with.
The, live from New York.
Yeah.
Writer and podcaster and big art, well, lapsed Arsenal fan, as we discovered. And what else should we speak? Yeah, Shabana. And we looked ahead to the Old Firm derby tonight. Yeah. Big game under the lights.
Jamie, you could have done the intro, really. You didn't need us.
You had a chat.
That's right. Yeah. I'm never quite sure what we're putting in it. And we had a chat. And you got involved. Here it all is. 6 minutes past one, and before I say good afternoon, everyone, good afternoon, Andy. I'm in need of John Arlott's pronunciation of the great old cricketer WD-40. Because listen to this chair, isn't it? We're stuck squeaking now all of a sudden. I'm in the world's squeakiest chair.
Remember him at May's Bounty.
Must bring my 3-in-1 in every day. Anyway, it is 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone.
What
good
a
afternoon.
Marvellous start.
Andy.
Yes. Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And Luna going well in the championship. You may have seen they've won 5 out of the last 8.
Yeah, good old
and their match winner last night, Harry Cornick.
Yeah.
And if he ever has a son, I hope he calls him Harry. He's got
to, hasn't he, really? For one, for fans of old crooners.
Yeah. Well, not that old, is he, Harry?
Well, he's not that old. He's
junior.
He was kind of pre-Bublé.
Bublé.
Sinatra, Cornick Jr., Bublé. Sir Michael would probably put it on his show.
And UEFA have been a bit heavy-handed over this small pizza place that do this Champions League pizza, and they've sort of basically issued a bit of a cease or desist sort of situation.
Really?
Always reminds me of the bloke who does get away with it, Roger Harrod's Carpets.
Oh, yes. That's a real business, is it?
It is, Roger.
So a local pizza place has been contacted by FIFA.
Yeah, they've blown the whistle on a clash with a German eatery selling a Champignon League pizza.
Right.
Pizza Volca restaurant, that's great, uses a name for its version covered in mushrooms or champignons in German. Oh, it's French.
Yeah, okay.
What are you talking about?
Champions League, is that what they've gone with?
League. Yeah, that's all right, isn't it?
It's a bit of a lame one, isn't it, really?
No one's going to confuse the two, are they?
No. Yeah. Are you going to watch the Champions League? No, blimey, I was going to, but in the end I bought predominantly mushroom pizza instead. Oh, why didn't FIFA do something about it when they had the chance?
It's ridiculous. One from the court circular involving the my old friend, the Duke of Kent.
Oh, yeah.
And
I wonder where you're going with that.
Well, the Duke of Kent,
oh, okay.
Honorary Air Chief Marshal.
That's all right, then.
This morning was present on the forecourt of Buckingham Palace.
It's got a forecourt. Fantastic. Yeah. I'll know where to fill up next time. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Obviously, the old Duke of Kent, he thought they said tennis court.
Yeah,
he
probably.
Was out, straight out there he was.
But now knowing that Buckingham Palace has got a forecourt, you can go in there, get some flowers for the other half. Fantastic, can't you? It'd be brilliant. You can get yourself a little Costa.
Very cheap,
then have the machine. Do you think, which minor members of the royal family operate in that?
Yeah.
So you're going off the forecourt, you're going to the foyer of Buckingham Palace.
Well, we can guess who might be working there
say,
at some point.
Yeah. 5, please. Pump 5. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
It's
do you want a torch? No, not really, no. $1.99, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Beatrice.
David Beckham, I think he sort of made the mistake of doing a podcast. Yep. It's always dangerous for a famous person to do a podcast because the tabloids just listen and then they lift the whole lot and make it into a big story.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was all about his eating habits. It was with the chef of the River Cafe in London, one of London's finest eateries.
Oh, you like it there, do you? Oh, you go there now and again, a bit
now
of a splurge?
It's a special place, yeah, special yeah, event nice. Place, and very nice. And so basically he did an interview with this woman and he sort of talked about the wine and he said that he gets very upset if, for example, the Chateau Latour isn't right. It ruins my evening. Yeah, it does. It ruins. You think, what a first world problem that really is, isn't it?
Fantastic. Chateau Latour, yes.
Oh, no.
Not quite the right temperature. It starts turning over tables.
And honestly,
throwing boots around.
I don't know Victoria Beckham. I think she's pretty clever.
And, you talk about her enough.
I do, yeah. But honestly, she does have a certain demeanour. And this would explain it, that she has grilled fish and steamed veg every day for dinner. Every night she has the same. Wow. That's not ideal, is it?
A bit boring, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not, you know, it's not very exciting, is it?
Not have roly-poly pudding and custard.
Occasionally. Go on,
fried slice.
Have one of those. It'll be lovely.
Now, here's a nice story, and not altogether unsurprising. It's about Mark Noble, the West Ham skipper, and he was chatting to Rio Ferdinand on Rio's podcast, and he says that what he started to do now is he sweeps up the away dressing room after a game. There was a match a little while ago when he had to go back and he'd forgotten something. And he said he was one of the clubs and he asked them to let him back into the dressing room. And he went in there and all the old detritus was there, you know, tie ups and rubbish and bottles strewn.
Bamian used to do that at Arsenal, was the same
thing. Well, maybe he did. But Mark, Mark saw this and thought, it's not on, that reflects on my club when I see it look in a state. So he decided from that point on to sweep up the away dressing room when the team left it. And he gets a few funny looks from the boys saying, what are you doing? And he's now noticed that if he's not in a squad or he's injured, apparently some of the younger lads in the squad pick up the slack and they've started...
Pick up the broom.
Pick up the broom in this case. But I thought, what a nice touch.
It is.
You know, it's what a nice story, thing to do. And it always goes
he's
down
a good
well
man.
There.
He is.
Whenever a tradesperson turns up with a dustpan and brush, you feel like you're in business. You're on their side. You ever get that, Andy? You get some, a spark comes in or Chippy comes in.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
They have
absolutely.
Own dustpan and brush.
Yeah.
There's the two, isn't there? There's one that has their own. Custom made, and the one that says, have you got a dustpan and brush? They're equally as good, but I think there is something about having your own dustpan, because you say, this is a man or woman going to clean
I'll
up
bring
after
own
themselves.
Here every day,
would you mind?
Handy, yeah.
It might be nice.
With Simon Jordan, I probably need it.
I think we probably will do, yeah. Simon normally leaves a little bit of stuff lying about, doesn't he?
You can tell he's to the man of born, because he just leaves it for the producer.
Although Charlie has scored a couple of quite nice-looking pens. He said, oh, Simon's left his pen. I always think it's going to be like 250 quid's worth of cross fountain pen. It generally isn't.
I just try and sort of get the essence of his aftershave off the desk and wipe it on my beard.
You save yourself about 50 quid.
A fortune.
I wonder why you're rubbing your face on the desk. It does explain things. Anyway, clearing up after yourself or not. We're looking for towels like that. Maybe there's been tradespeople that have come in and haven't really covered themselves in glory. They don't even ask for the dustpan and brush, let alone bring their own. And Andy, you've got a towel very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Sporting cash in the attic. We might even speak to the people behind this, but tell us about it.
This is sisters Nikki Lane and Karen Douglas, who found rare sports memorabilia in their late mum's garage and were stunned after it fetched £19,650 at an auction in Etwell in Derbyshire. So I did a bit of research because that's all there was.
Yeah.
And it was quite a famous auctioneer. And it turns out that, obviously, their sisters were... their grandfather was Johnny Douglas, a great English cricketer of the sort of turn of the century time. Yeah, so... It was, an autograph book that he had and some other stuff that he had.
Brilliant.
And it turned out to be worth 20 grand.
Well, they are going to join us on the show tomorrow. But before that, maybe you've got some sporting cash in the attic. So we'll take those as well. What have you discovered and in what circumstances? And we're also after, as I said, clearing up after yourself or not. Talksport.com/H&J and text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We mentioned earlier on that Mark Noble likes to sweep the away dressing room when West Ham leave a Premier League ground, or whichever ground, because he thinks it leaves a better impression of his club, which we thought was a nice touch. And so we're always very impressed with tradespeople. And we left out the come with their own dustpan and brush. Building on that was Dave Willis, who's been in touch. He said, I'm a decorator, always have a Hoover. Because I forgot, you need, ideally, a very knackered old Henry, a red Henry, quite knackered, covered either in paint and or plaster. You need one of those as well. A dusty old Henry. I always have a Hoover, and I'm meticulous about clearing up after myself. I wish the same could be said for Sparks. So he's kicking off. Ooh. Decorators versus Sparks. A bit of cable and wire all over the floor every single time, along with half a plasterboard where they've moved a socket. Oh, it's trade wars. Trade wars has kicked off. Thank you, Dave. Well, let the electricians come back and have a pop at you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Thanks for getting in touch this afternoon. Annie was telling us about the two sisters who found some fairly lucrative sporting memorabilia, cash in the attic. This comes from Simon. Cleaning the sheds, the New Zealand All Blacks have this ritual, which I'm not so sorry, this is a different story. This is clearing up after yourself. Cleaning the sheds, that's right. Sorry, I've read the wrong one. I thought he'd found something in his shed.
Yeah.
That's why. Of course, I'm with you now. Sorry, Simon. The New Zealand All Blacks have this ritual, which is part of their culture. They feel doing it properly, so no one else has to become... no one looks after the All Blacks, that's right, as the All Blacks look after themselves. A well-known mantra within rugby circles. So, yeah, maybe Mark Noble has taken a bit of it from them.
Football team did this, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They did the same sort of thing. But, you know, you kind of expect it in those... You don't necessarily expect it of you know, with respect, a Premier League club. But it's nice to think they're out there doing it. I'm a dustman from Stratford. Well, not me personally, but John is. Yesterday I found in one of the bins at the London Stadium a few football contracts with no names on. Are they worth anything? Well, only if you get somebody to sign them, I suppose. I mean, Lord knows what you can do with them.
There must be a sort of, well, what could that be?
Just well, I don't know, it's just blank ones. I could fill in the names. Just to make, if you're a West Ham fan, John, just put Kylian Mbappe, player's name, fee, £25, and you think, oh, you know, you can just imagine what it would have been like him holding up the shirt. That's right. So whatever you choose to do with those, keep it legal.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. John Ronson will be joining us, a podcaster, journalist, broadcaster, Arsenal fan. And we'll be talking a bit of football.
Nobody's perfect.
He probably rarely gets the chance. He lives over in New York these days, and often he gets the chance to talk a bit of football in this sort of arena. So apart from talking about his tour, we will find out more about his Arsenal supporting life. Hannah Kamari's popping in to see us. She is a performer, writer and producer. She has written a play. She's a big football fan, Cov fan, apparently. Okay. And she's written a one-woman play, which she is performing. And she'll be telling us, it's called England, and she'll be telling us about that. And we've got the Old Firm Derby, which I think have a lot of eyes down south on it tonight. I think everybody's ready to watch some competitive football. And yeah, an Old Firm derby under the lights,
it's
rarely
a nice
happens.
Staggered kickoff with the AFCON semi-final. That's a 7. Then you can watch that till half time. Then you can watch the Old Firm game.
You've got it all worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
You've had your old marker pen out in the TV times.
All worked out. Well, I've had any sport this week, and it's been bad news for my wife.
Oh, okay.
We were looking at the planner last night. She got all these medical programs she can't watch.
Because she is effectively, through all those medical programs she loves, kind of qualified as a doctor.
Said that to her. Yeah, definitely. Well,
anyway, in the meantime, the TalkSport shop is open. We've got you covered this winter with entertainment everyone can enjoy. Wrap up with our discounted bundles or settle in with a TalkSport mug and TalkSport quiz book signed by Big Alan Brazil.
Whatever the score is, head to TalkSport.com/shop.
There he is, Mr. Andy Backend Jacobs.
That's me.
Bringing us all the important information.
I didn't have a chance to talk about most.
So I'm saying that a pub is in Haymarket near Murrayfield. It's about halfway to Murrayfield.
Yeah.
It's going that way from where we are. So we're not that far out of town. So if you're in Edinburgh on Friday, it would be lovely to see you. So we've got some great guests joining us.
It's on the edge. Haymarket's on the edge of Newtown.
Yeah. So do come and join us if you can. We'd be lovely to see you at Platform 5.
Monday night, I watched the highlights of the women's test match. I hadn't realised. I'd sort of
seen it. It's amazing,
What a game of cricket. I mean, that has to be the best test match in women's history, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've never seen a game shift so much in momentum. Even though I knew the result, it was really exciting.
And actually, I mean, both finishes, really. Both the games over the weekend. So
they
were fantastic, the four wickets.
But it was like a test match. It was more authentic, wasn't it? So it was good.
Test match at his best, absolutely.
And our regular Monday football reviewer, Paul Jiggins. I always like his match reports. They're always good. He sort of ties it into something that's going on. He goes, this is his report from Millwall. The year of the Tiger kicked off with the yawn of the Lions. As China celebrated their new year, Millwall and Preston put on a show that was anything but a firecracker.
Oh, nice.
Marvellous.
Beautifully
well done,
Jiggo. He's got skin in the game as well for that one, hasn't he?
I know, yes.
We've got the Winter Olympics starting and we'll be reflecting.
We've
that,
already got a victory in the curling.
Oh, that's good. That's good news, Andy. Yeah. Have you got curling news?
Curling news.
We haven't got a jingle for it, unfortunately. That's a great shame.
But I've always loved the
curling. A little bit of breaking news from the world of football. We'll be getting that information for you in a few moments' time. In the meantime, Andy, curling news.
I can't find the guy. We beat Sweden, I think, in the first round.
That's a good start.
I can't find it now, but there you
go. Well, funny enough, I saw... did you realise that the GB curling team do a calendar every year? They've been doing it since 2011 for a great cause.
I didn't know they did.
They do. They put out these calendars. And the 2022 version, obviously clearly the men's team.
Yeah.
They're all standing there. They're all kind of, and they're all in good nick.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Dream Boys. They look fantastic.
It's not one of those sort of new things and they've got the broom strategically placed.
No. They're clothed, but they are, they're all in really good shape. And why would they not be? But it just struck me that maybe there is a kind of a sweeping fitness video out there for somebody, because clearly constantly sweeping
does good.
I think Mark Noble's going to be ripped, isn't he, by the time he's finished all those dressing.
I'm thinking of inventing curling Subutio.
Okay, how's that going to work?
Well, how would you imagine it would work? Basically, you have a little kettle,
yeah,
a curling thing, which you freeze, you keep in the freezer, you get it out.
So you'd have like a little frozen...
Yeah, a little frozen sort of thing with a target on it.
Can you have Subutio ice dance then on that basis? Could you do that?
Subutio anything, I
suppose. Subutio Torville and Dean. But how would you manoeuvre them on skates?
Yeah,
or
you
shove it. It's like shove eight
on
ice.
That works against Torville and Dean, really. But
and would you have a mini broom? A little tiny broom?
Yeah, little mini brooms as you do it.
Two little mini brooms?
Oh, I'm putting a patent out on that.
You've got no chance, mate. Subutio curling.
Be
if you've got any other idiot ideas for Subutio derivatives,
Ronan Martin on the old box.
Yeah, okay, that would be good. Yeah. Thumbs up. All right then, let's bring you that breaking
still
news
to bring her laughing.
let's bring you that breaking news in the world of football.
Okay.
Then
breaking news on Talk Sport.
Yes, Toby Gillies has rejoined us. News from the Championship, Toby.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just had this come from West Brom. West Bromwich Albion Football Club can confirm Valerian Ismail has today left his position as head coach. Assistant head coach Adam Murray has also departed the Hawthorns. The club would like to place on record its thanks to Valerian and Adam for their efforts and wishes them well in the future. The process, they say, of recruiting a new head coach is now underway and an appointment will be announced in due course. So West Brom have sacked Valerian Ismail.
Thanks, Toby. Yeah, I think he's well, in absentia. I think he's in today. He's in Germany. He's gone over to see some family. So, but I'm looking at the results, he probably knew it was coming. Really, the crowd. The crowd had turned on him a touch.
I'm surprised the producer and Toby are still with us because Roy Hodgson is giving his first Watford news conference.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll bring you some of that.
They'll be listening to
a little bit later on. Well, you know. So, are you looking forward to the return of the Premier League this weekend?
Well, the return of Roy Hodgson, obviously.
That's right. It's very much your act.
Well, we won't be returning because we're getting ready for the very important, as Tim Vickery will tell us, but nobody cares apart from him, World Club Championships.
Oh, yeah, of course. So when does it start, the World Club Championship?
Well, it starts this weekend, but Chelsea don't come into it until the semi-final.
Is this Krakatoa versus Atlantis? The teams that matter don't come
into
it.
There's a first round, you can imagine. Not even worth bothering with them at all.
Yeah.
We'd make the National League, really. Then you've got the second round, and then you've got the semi-finals, and then the final.
So do you just come in at the final?
Well, it depends. I mean, you've got to... Hopefully you win the semi-final.
Yeah.
Last time we were in it, in 2012, we did pretty poorly under Benitez. It was
Out
in the semi-final.
Yeah.
But I think Tuchel will take it a bit more seriously, so... You know, it's a nice break for Chelsea as well. But they got the cup on the weekend. So I'm looking forward to that.
Where's it being played? Not the cup. I mean,
the Emirates. United Arab Emirates.
And who have you got in the cup?
Plymouth.
Okay, another tough draw for Chelsea.
Yes, another tricky one. Have you got
We got Brighton Saturday evening.
Is that away?
No, at home.
Oh, you made the point. It's a difficult one for fans to get.
Yeah,
home
not easy for that. Easy for the Brighton fans.
Definitely not.
So anyway, we'll be of course bringing you all the cup action here on Talk Cup Soccer, as Dickie Davis once said. Do you want to hear some of the games we got? Let me tell you. Kidderminster West Ham, we got that one for you, 12:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, I think West Ham.
Before that, we got the biggie, the Manchester United Borough on Friday night. We got Chelsea Plymouth, we're bringing you that one on Talk Sport 2, 12:30. Then we got a game day live downwindle at Selhurst Park, all the goals they go in. Then we've got Everton Brentford over on Talk Sport 2. Swansea Blackburn.
Everton Brentford, I think, is a very intriguing time, especially with Frank Lampard now coming in and the two new players. Dele Alli, though, I do think sometimes these players do fascinate me. I know he's a good player and he hasn't had a great time, but he's kind of blamed the three managers since Poch.
He
basically said, I want to enjoy my football. I haven't enjoyed it under these three. There's no sort of self-awareness about the fact that he's been pretty poor, really.
Yeah, he has been. No, I mean, he said he wants to give special thanks to Pochettino. Yeah. He had a better relationship with Pochettino than the others, and he got the best out of him. You could say it's a sort of backhanded sort of knock at the others. But, you know, if he's got any sense, he'll see. If decent people around him, they'll see as well that he's got to up his game now. He's got to Everton. And, you know, in a strange way, as long as he doesn't score against us, I hope it works out for him.
Absolutely.
Because, you know,
hope it works out because you'll get 40 million
No, not so much that. You kind of, when someone's given you a lot of pleasure, like, you kind of want to see them do well. I was interested, we'll talk to John Ronson about this in a minute, that it's a fair bit of love for Aubameyang, actually. Surprisingly, that, you know, it's a few Arsenal fans who give him a send-off.
£7 million payoff. I talk about being rewarded for failure. It's tremendous, isn't it?
Well, some of them are saying thanks for everything you did.
So, he won a couple of cups, didn't he, thanks to... some assistance from what's his name.
Oh, okay. Anthony Taylor, is it? He started that vendetta again.
Kevin Friend has been stood down by the PGMOL. Have you seen this?
Okay, what for?
For his brilliant decision with Gaeta and Jota.
Okay. Well, he's off to Torquay at the weekend.
But they've indulged in their usual no-fault backside covering exercise, saying, well, no, he's just going to referee, going to referee in the championship.
Anyway, John Ronson is up next. Journalist, author, filmmaker, one-time member of Frank Sidebottom's band.
Yeah,
we'll be chatting about his new tour, talking a bit of Arsenal.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Now, if you're a fan of John Ronson's podcast, you may well have already listened to Things Fell Apart, his look at the culture wars. And if so, you may like to go and see him in person. He's heading back to the UK to do some live dates around the podcast. And he joins us now from New York. Good afternoon, John, or good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Lovely to talk to you. Big fan of your work and very much enjoyed this series as well. For those that haven't listened to it, just tell us a little bit more about it.
Okay. Well, I guess the starting point was I was online just watching friends of mine just ruin their lives because of the intensity with which they were fighting various culture war issues. People were losing their reputations and their families, and you know their marriages were splitting up. And so, and by culture war, the definition of culture war, I guess, is the battle of dominance, the battle for dominance over conflicting values. So everything from trans rights to critical race theory to abortion. Anyway, so I was watching my friends fall apart. I wanted to make a show about it. I didn't want to make a show that would throw oil on the fire. So I decided to tell very gentle, twisty-turny, human stories about people caught up in the culture wars.
Yeah, Paul introduced me to it, and the one about Tammy Faye Baker, that was
really, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed them all, but that one really struck a chord. They're all so different, and it's a story, yeah. I didn't know, and I would imagine in terms of feedback, you've had an awful lot of reaction to that. It was really powerful, very moving.
Yeah, that particular episode, I had so many messages the day that it first aired on Radio 4. It's now a podcast that everyone can hear. So many messages of people having to stop their car on the side of the road because they were crying so hard listening to it, they wouldn't safely drive. So I did like sitting in New York and thinking, I've just made Britain cry.
There's a film of that story now, isn't there? Isn't that right?
It's actually coming out in a few days' time. So what happened was, a few years ago, I was researching Tammy Faye Baker, and I came across this story about a particular day in Tammy's life when she interviewed a man called Steve Peters, and it was one of the most extraordinary stories that I'd ever found. And so I did a bunch of research on it a couple of years ago for a potential fiction project, which then fell by the wayside because of this movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. So I decided, well, I love this particular story, this one day in Tammy's life. So thank God I got the chance to do it for Things Fell Apart. And now the movie is coming out in a couple of days, starring Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, it looks very good.
I was fascinated also by the first episode of Cancellation for a joke. It was way back, wasn't it? 1988 is quite incredible.
Yeah, we managed to find the first person in recorded history to be publicly shamed because of something they did on the internet. And it was so interesting, particularly because it caused a huge commotion at the time. Like, this guy published this joke, and the joke was considered offensive. And so this huge conversation for the very first time, what should we do about this? Should we ban this joke from the internet? Should we just allow all jokes, however offensive they are, and all information, even if it's untrue, to just flourish unencumbered? And this conversation was had by the people who were inventing the internet at the time. So not only was it the first cancellation, but it was a cancellation that then kind of defined how people would live on the internet for the 30 or 40 years since.
So it didn't seem that bad to me, and I'm also Jewish, and I didn't think it was that bad, but there you go.
It's not the word.
It's not.
So the live dates you're doing, you're kicking off in London at the end of March and travelling around the country. I mean, what as a kind of a live podcast, what elements will you bring to it?
What I always try and do when I do live shows based on something that I've written or done is try and make it work for both people who've heard it and who haven't heard it. So I'll be showing video clips that people haven't seen. I'll be playing some audio. I have a mystery guest. I'll be telling stories that I didn't tell in the show. And I just hope people like it. Yeah. It's going to be London, Sheffield, Cardiff. A few of the other places have sold out. I think Bristol and Nottingham have both sold out already. Please come.
Do you find social media, the culture wars, wearing? I mean, isn't it just people basically shouting at each other, but neither side are listening?
It's the worst. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible for so many reasons. For a start, Twitter is the world's worst information swapping service. We tear somebody to shreds. 2 days later, we found out that we did it on completely erroneous information. And do we then self-reflect? No, we just move on to the next person. So that happens over and over again on Twitter. It encourages, obviously. I mean, I wrote about this in a book, so even publicly shamed six or seven years ago. It encourages us all retreating into our you know, comfortable echo chambers, and that if somebody gets into our echo chamber who has an opinion that we disagree with, we just sort of frantically just, you know, eject them. There's good things about social media too, of course, but I think this aspect of it, this violent weapon that we utilise without really thinking about the consequences is a very poor side of it.
Now, here we are on TalkSport, so we'll look at some football connections finally. And one is your time as the keyboard player with an occasional guest on the show, Frank Sidebottom, a man who loved his football. But yeah, you played keyboards in Frank and Chris's band, didn't you?
Yeah, for a number of years, like 3 or 4 years. Fortunately, the only chords I knew were C, F and G. And fortunately, those were the only chords that you needed to know to be in the Frank Sidebottom Obliviously Big Fan. So it's like a match made in heaven. I tell you what, I was like 20 years old. Nothing makes a young man feel more alive than, you know, driving up the M6 at 3 o'clock in the morning next to a man wearing a big fake head.
You did the documentary, didn't you?
I didn't do the documentary. No. That was a guy from Cardiff. I wrote a movie, a sort of fictionalized movie called Frank. I wrote it with Peter Straw, and that got made starring Michael Fassbender. But no, there's a brilliant documentary called Being Frank, which tells the true story. Yeah.
And you are an Arsenal fan. Fair to call you lapsed since you moved away?
I am, you know, I tried to keep it up. I was a season ticket holder. That's not fair to say that. I was a club level season ticket holder, which meant I got to jump the queue by paying an extra couple of £1,000, which I always feel guilty about. But for a few years, I just loved it. I went with my son every week. It was just something normal. It was just something normal and routine to do. And that just felt very important at the time in my life. But once I moved to New York, because it was like the experience of going to the Emirates that I loved so much, I did lapse when I moved.
And why Arsenal for you? Because you're originally from Cardiff, aren't you?
I am, but we lived in Islington and Highgate for most of our lives. So, we toyed when my son was trying to figure out which team to support. For a little while, he supported Hull City randomly.
Why? It's
quite random.
It was so random. I remember I took him up to Everton, and those plaintive cries of silverware, we don't care, we'll follow Hull City everywhere. So we switched to Arsenal quite quickly. Clearly, silverware doesn't matter either.
Who knows? It's not been that long. Not as long as it has been for my team, Tottenham, but there we are. Good to talk to you, John. Thanks very much. Best of luck with the tour.
That was a pleasure. That was lovely talking to you.
You can go to johnronson.com or at John Ronson. But please be nice. We've just been talking about social media. And and you can get all the dates there to go and see. And do really recommend the podcast. They're all very different. And it's excellent. You've been
checking them. They're very good.
All of his series are he's done about 3 or 4 really good podcast series. So do go and check them out wherever you get your podcasts. Anyway, we're going to be we're sticking with the arts. We got somebody popping in to see us in the studio. Hannah Kamari is the performer, writer, and producer of a new football related play. She'll be in to see us. Then we'll be looking ahead with her own Shabana and. She's working tonight at her first Old Firm derby. So she'll be joining us to look ahead to that one.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're going to have a chat now about a new football-themed play. It's called England, and it's written and performed by Hannah Kamari, and she's joined us in the studio. Hannah, good to see you.
Hello, good to be here.
You're half Scottish, half Indian. It's a play about England.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of exactly what it's about. I was born in the Midlands, so grew up feeling very English. But I think as a lot of mixed-race people, you're kind of straddling different identities, and I think football is really kind of brings out that question for a lot of people of national identity, and it's one of the reasons why I wrote the play.
Yeah, and you used to go and watch Coventry when you were living there.
That was
there.
Your route into the game, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah. My first ever game was Coventry versus Man City in the FA Cup in 96. It was 2-2, and I was just hooked straight away. The atmosphere, the adrenaline, not dissimilar to theatre. And then I got a season ticket, so I was going through all the kind of sky blue glory days. Right,
when you've been in London, living in West Ham, living in East London, a bit of West Ham, and you're now in Somerset, and you're watching non-league football.
Yeah, go along to Frome Town when I can, and I'm going to be doing the play there at the ground as well. It's a great team, Badgers Hill. The stadium is called.
Oh, okay, well, that's very impressive. Actually. They're fantastic. So, tell us a bit about the play.
Yeah, so I'm a massive football fan since the 90s, and in June 2020, in the wake of the kind of BLM protests, there was some counter-protests that sprung up around protecting statues, and there was a particular group, football group, that was involved. And I saw some of the videos online, and, you know, it's the same as some of the things you see at England games. I just found it really upsetting because I love the game so much. It can be such a positive. It just prompted me to reflect on my own experiences, and that's when I ended up writing the play.
So it's very autobiographical. It starts just the year after of Euro 96, doesn't it? It's not set now.
Yep, it's set in 1997. Mm. So some parts are very autobiographical. And I think, as a lot of writers do, I've dramatised some of it to serve the story. But some things, like the first game that I went to, are in there. So it's very much inspired by things I've witnessed and experienced.
Mm. And you've changed the end. We were talking about following England, how it can sometimes be not the most pleasant experience. And you've changed the end, haven't you, in light of what happened in the Euros in the summer?
Yeah, that's right. I did a run of performances just during the Euros, in fact, at German Street Theatre. And I myself got really caught up in the euphoria, and it felt like really feel good for a while. And then on the day of the final, kind of the scenes that we were seeing, it was almost like, oh, we're here again. And it just made me reflect on what I was showing in the play.
You're right. Yeah. It went from feel good to feel bad. That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened.
And just sort of, what's the theme of it then, really? Is it, it's kind of just through your eyes as a football fan of somebody who's mixed races, is that essentially the core of it?
Yeah, the core of it, the themes are like identity, national identity, racism, discrimination. And I think that question of what does it mean to be English, and who kind of gets to define what that means.
Mm. And how long are you more actor than writer, or more writer than actor, or have you always done both?
So previously I was more of an actor. I did that for a long time, and it's the last 2 years that I've really started writing and producing my own work as well.
Yeah.
And it's a one-woman play, so you can't fall out with anybody else in the cast.
Yeah, no one else to cover up your mistakes either.
That's true. Is that quite a thing to have to carry, or how long is it?
It's just under an hour.
Yeah, it's still a lot to carry on stage, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does take up a lot of energy. Luckily, I have quite a lot of energy, but it's definitely more of a challenge than being an ensemble piece, because you're carrying the whole thing, as you say.
And what sort of reactions you get from people when you've performed it? I take it you have. So have you done some performances of the play so far?
Yeah, I did a mini run of 4 nights at German Street Theatre, and I've done 2 other performances in Bristol and London since then.
And how different are the reactions from people who like football and follow football, and those that don't just go and see it as a straight piece of theatre?
Yeah, so the reactions I've had, and obviously I might be a bit biased, but I have had feedback that lots of people from different backgrounds get different things from the play. Mm. Obviously some people really connect with the themes, maybe they've got lived experience of those. Other people seem to really like the obscure 90s football references. And people who don't like football, I think it's about, you know, if you're passionate about something, it could be any hobby. So I think it does appeal to lots of different people.
You were saying you'd not really witnessed any racism at football when you were a Coventry fan. And you went and watched the Rangers, went up with your dad and saw a Rangers-Arsenal game with our old friend Ian Wright was abused in the match. And you said that was it shocked you and upset you.
It did really shock me and upset me. I think I was about 12 or 13. We used to go on holiday to Scotland every summer, and my dad took me to this friendly, and it was a guy, older man next to me. Obviously, I'm not going to repeat what he was saying, but it was just constant throughout the whole game. Mm. I didn't really witness a lot of racism at Coventry. So it did really upset me. And I think it was the fact that nobody else seemed to kind of be bothered that he was saying that. I mean, I think I was the only non-white person in that stand that day. Mm. But it's always stuck with me. And I've read other things that he's talked about. I think it was a Barnsley fan that later wrote him a letter apologising a number of years later.
It's obviously not put you off, is it? You know, you still go and see football. I mean, things have, look, they're not perfect, but things have got better. Things have changed. Do you feel like that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that. I think there's a long way to go, and sometimes it can feel like we're taking steps backwards. But I think there's a lot of people, like the Football Supporters Association, who are supporting my play, their Fans for Diversity campaign, kind of getting a different image of football fans out there, which in turn encourages other people to go, which kind of makes it a more welcoming environment, I think.
Yeah.
Where's it on?
When?
Where?
Yeah, so we're taking it all around the country. We're doing two nights in Warwick Arts Centre. We're doing a performance at the National Football Museum on the 10th of March, great. Which I'm really excited
have
about. I have been there, yeah, as good, a visitor. It's great. Mm. Yeah, it's great. When I went, they had the football shirt exhibition on, actually. So I got a snap of myself with the Coventry shirt. We're going up to the North East Base Camp Borough, which is a kind of newish arts venue. They're very connected to the club as well. Froome Town, lots of Southwest venues, Exeter, Phoenix. So it's about 17 venues in total.
Fantastic. Brilliant. And you have to wear an England shirt. So how does that play with the Scottish part of the family?
Yeah, it's actually the first time I've worn an England shirt, which is right. Really kind of ties into the themes. And yeah, maybe just hope that they don't mind too much. I've got a Scotland scarf as well in the kit bag. So
yeah, that's the way to do it. You just have a Scotland T-shirt or something underneath. So Hannah Kamari, so people can find all the dates. Where can they find them online, I take it?
Yeah, so the piece is being co-produced by WoLab, which is a theatre company, and on their website, wolab.co.uk /Ingerland, all the dates and links are there to buy the tickets.
Is that WOLAB?
Exactly, yeah.
Nice one. Hannah, we wish you well with it. Thanks very much for
popping
in to
see
us.
Thank you so much.
Hannah Kamari's play, England. Go and check out all the details and go and see it on tour. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Siobhan Hearn joins us very shortly. She'll be working at her first Old Firm derby. I take it it's not her first experience of it, but it will be pretty special. Under the lights tonight, she'll be quite the atmosphere. And as we said, a lot of eyes down south on it, simply because everybody's been starved of football. Andy's got his evening planned out, AFCON and Old Firm. So Siobhan joins us shortly as we look ahead to that game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The Old Firm derby this evening, and it should
always
be a
lively.
Cracker. Yeah, it's, as I say, it's normally sort of midday on a Saturday or Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
But under the lights tonight should be red hot atmosphere at Celtic Park, and Celtic's incentive, of course,
there's going to be a red card, isn't it?
If they win, they'll go above Rangers. I saw a tweeting earlier on today on Siobhan Hearn saying it's her first Old Firm derby. I take it that's working and not visiting. Let's find out. Siobhan joins us now. Good afternoon, Siobhan.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, thank you. So is this not you witnessing your first Old Firm derby, or is it?
Yeah, no, this will be my first witnessing there in the actual grounds tonight. It's funny because it's very, very different world up here when you come into Glasgow and it's a Celtic Rangers night or an Old Firm or a Glasgow derby, whatever side it is you're on, whatever you want to call it. But when we were wee and growing up, my dad would always say he would never have let us go because it was quite a different time and it can get quite heated. So I was never allowed to go to one, and this will be my first one. I'm working tonight, but it's at Celtic, and I'm nervous and I'm excited, and oh God, it's just, I've no idea how this is going to go.
It's the best atmosphere I've ever been to at a game, and I've, you know, been really? Lucky through this job to see some derbies around the world, and nothing prepares you.
I had a slightly different experience. I'd say pre-match it was the best atmosphere, one of the best, not quite as good as Boca, but pretty good. But the only thing is, Celtic lost. And so the atmosphere was like any other football ground.
It was the noise at kickoff.
When the home team are losing.
I'll never forget the noise just before kickoff. And Ali was playing that. That's how long ago it was.
Just before kickoff was incredible.
But it is. It's just an amazing atmosphere. And I think that's going to be heightened in the fact it's an evening game tonight, Shabam.
Yeah, and it's just 60,400 Celtic fans tonight, and that'll be against, you know, 11 Rangers players, their bench, and their new manager as well. So, you know, last time round it was a 1-0 win for Rangers. This is Ange Postecoglou's first, meeting with Rangers at Celtic Park as well. And what I'll tell you is that when it comes to midweek fixtures for Rangers and Celtic and Rangers, Celtic have won the last three when it comes to midweek. Now, you mentioned that one with Ali McCoist. You cast your mind back to 2011 in December. That's when both Ali McCoist and Neil Lennon went head-to-head and it all got a bit heated. I think there were three red heart cards in that game as well. So midweeks, you know, speak a lot for themselves as well. So it should be a belter tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, Aaron Ramsey, who exciting signing for Rangers, but he's lacks match fitness. So
you're not going to throw that would have been talk about baptism of fire.
And also Morelos, who whenever I've watched Rangers has been pretty effective. He's away with Colombia, so there are a few key players missing, aren't there?
Absolutely. I mean, Celtic will be taking advantage of that tonight, and Celtic are missing one of the key players as well, still out with injury. It looks like, for the time being, Kyogo will be part of the squad tonight as well. But of course, Celtic have had a very exciting transfer window. And when you talk about, you know, I think what Rangers did on that last day of the window was huge for Scottish football. It's huge for Rangers, absolutely no doubt about that. But you're right, you know, we haven't seen Aaron Ramsey featured a lot of late. But when you look at what Ange Postecoglou's done in the transfer window as well, is focus on that J League, that market that he has such a fascination with. What he's done with Kyogo coming at the club, who's been out of this world, you know, he's been untouchable and he's been brilliant for Celtic. And then we've seen Rio Hatate and Dezan Mida get man of the matches and goals in the two games that they've featured in. And of course, Matt O'Reilly as well coming in from NK Dons. So it's been very different transfer windows for Rangers, even the signing of Diallo as well. You know, I'm married into Manchester United, so I was like, oh no, when he went to Rangers, I was like, what's going on here? So both very active windows, both very, very different. And I think tonight will be the test for them all.
Yeah, they're coming off the back of a mad game at the weekend, Rangers. That 3-3 draw was bonkers match, wasn't it?
Oh, and it perfectly teed up tonight, guys, because with Rangers then drawing out 3-3 up in Dingwall, as that kind of full-time whistle went, it was coming up to the 92 minutes and Celtic still were 0-0. For Abada to put that goal in the final breath of the game, to just close that gap ever so slightly to 2 points means tonight it is a huge game for both teams. You know, Rangers either going, you know, 5 points clear, or Celtic going top of the league, which is, I must say, it's been a long time since that's happened. It feels like that anyway. So I have, you know, no doubt that both Rangers and Celtic are going to give it some tonight, but Celtic will have the backing of 60,400 fans there in the grounds as well.
It is a proper title race this year, isn't it? Which is good. So.
Yeah. We love that. That's what you want to see. I mean, it was a pretty, you know, gutting season, obviously, last time round for Celtic, and what Ange has done. I mean, naturally, I'm speaking, you know, from my Celtic loyalties at this point in time. But you know,
we can hear that. I'm glad you're not covering that, because everyone's going, she's a Celtic fan.
She's doing it for Celtic TV. It'd be a bit much if she was a Rangers fan. But the people are a bit sniffy about.
Just point that out.
Yes, of course. People were a bit sniffy about Ange Postecoglou when he got the job, and we know, speaking to sort of Australian football journalists, they were really keen for him to do well and felt he would. He was a good man, and he'd prove himself, and it took a little while, but as you said, with his nous around the Japanese market, players he's brought in, I think, is he won the fans over, you think, those that were doubting him?
Absolutely. I mean, you're right, only 7 months ago, myself and Alan Brazil and Ali McCoist were working together one morning when it was rumoured that Ange Postecoglou was coming in, and Alan was going, what the heck are we doing, what is this all about, and Ali McCoist is clapping Celtic, you know, all that usual fancy lads have, and you know, and he's just turned it around. You know, not only is Ange, you know, been a great manager, he's instilled that faith with the fans, he's brought in exciting players, you know, he's built a real vibe around Celtic again, and he's had a tough job. And you know, I actually listened to a podcast from years ago with Ange Postecoglou, and he was talking about he enjoys the fact of going somewhere that nobody knows him, because you know, the expectation is almost less that, you know, okay, well, we need to give him a chance because we don't know anything about this guy. And he's, I have to say, when you come here, the pressure cooker of being a Celtic manager or a Rangers manager, we know that from our Ali McCoist as well, you know, what kind of environment that you are in and what you're exposed to. It comes down to nights like this. And
we'll see how going where nobody knows them, though. That's not true. I love not being recognised at all. It's marvellous.
You wouldn't want to be doing this for Celtic TV pitch side at Ibrox, would you, Shaban? Although, I don't know if...
No, that wouldn't be great.
Yeah, have you got... So, as part of the Celtic TV coverage, do you have a Rangers player there or not?
No. No. We can't even get a fan in, never mind the next Rangers player at the moment. But no, it's John Hartson tonight and John Collins.
That sounds very Celtic.
Two men who have experience when it comes to going up against Rangers. So it should be a good laugh tonight.
Yeah, it should be brilliant. Yeah, you will love the atmosphere. Being being pitch side for something like that will be pretty amazing. So, and Alan and Ali are on breakfast tomorrow.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, the fallout will be interesting.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought that far ahead, actually, till tomorrow morning's breakfast show. Well, I've already actually been texting Alan about it, and he's like, it's a huge 3 points, you know. It's all about set pieces, and I thought, well, if I see Ange tonight, I'll pass on that message. Yeah. John, Alan, don't worry.
Alan Brazil says.
It's all about the banner.
Well, enjoy your first one, Siobhan. Thanks very much.
Looking forward to it, guys. I'll see you next week, okay?
Take care.
Siobhan
Ahern there, who is presenting for Celtic TV. Seems a shame they haven't got someone like Ali up there just pitch side to give the Rangers view.
No, don't bother.
You wouldn't want to be there if you lost, would you? Wouldn't want to be there if
no
you
lost. No one wants to be around if you lose.
Yeah, fantastic. The one I saw, and Ali played in the one I saw, it was Lou Macari's first game in charge of Celtic, and they went to
Ibrox.
They went to Ibrox.
Oh, you were right.
And they won Ibrox. That was a very strong Rangers team with Haitley and Ali and stuff. And Ali Maxwell dropped one. It was his first game, I think, and goal. He dropped the ball, and Celtic scored a winner right at the death. Didn't go down massively well at Ibrox.
It should be special, though. Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, it's we'll keep you in touch with that one this evening. Dan Windle. And who's down alongside? Darren Ambrose tonight. So the two guys will keep an eye on all the goals they go in.
He's dropped the transfer part of his name now. He only keeps it for January.
Oh, does he? Right, OK.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Andy will be with us in the studio for the birthday spread. Charlie will be presenting the show alongside me. Do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.